Oh, yes, it is indeed another installment of JC and Morgan, over 300 of them strong, and we are back live. After the last time we did this, we had Tim Brando. We actually did that pre-recorded, so those of you that caught it didn't catch it live. And most of you, quite frankly, aren't able to catch it live due to the time slot that we do this. We always appreciate those that do catch it live, like Frederick, like Big Slamajama, like Sam the Man Murphy. We always love taking a look at some of the commentary in the chat box. And as we always talk about this time of year, we love great guests. And one of our good friends, Brando, last episode, Tom Lugan, Bill, this episode, will continue the guest parade as time moves along. Ordinarily, Mad Dog, Phil Mullinax, would be behind the levers, behind the magic curtain. We've had a little bit of technical issues. Actually, Phil's had technical issues. We're fine. Everything seems fine. Rob, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, this is going out in the universe, and everybody sounds good, looks good, right? We're okay.
I think everything's working beautifully on my end, Mike.
Okay.
Happy to kind of jump in here and fill the gap momentarily.
I think
I have worked around the back and gotten snuck Phil into a back door.
Okay.
So hopefully he'll be here soon, and I'll get back to that shower that I was taking.
You're coming out of the bullpen in an emergency duty, bases loaded, nobody out, and we've asked you to put up a goose egg on the board. And by golly, if anybody is up to it, it is Rob, who does a number of things with Chief, does a great job. We can get into his bio and resume later on in the program. Before we get Lugs in, I want to mention three numbers, Rob. And I'll see if you can put two and two together, speaking of numbers, on these three numbers that all are extremely relevant to the sport we know and love in college football here in the late days of May. 100, 16, and 24. Like Karnak, 100,
well,
16, you know, and 24.
16 and 24 immediately spark playoff thoughts in my
Correct,
head.
Correct, sir. Correct. That is going to be the story that dominates. You know, we just had the Amelia Island ACC meetings, not media days, but meetings. Media days will come in July. We're about to next week go to lovely Destin, Florida, and we'll have the SEC meetings. And that'll be even more significant because there's only one conference left that's fighting for 16 as opposed to 24, and that's Greg Sankey. He is the last wall. If you folks want to avoid 24, and I don't know many people that want 24, not fans. I know people that have a selfish interest in it that want 24. I don't know many fans that do. But that is your last. He's the goalie, okay? Messi is lining up the penalty kick, and your only chance to not have this thing go to 24. And once it goes 24, there's no turning back. That is your last bastion of hope. So that's 16 and 24. The 100, Rob, and this snuck up on me, we are 100 days away from the start of college football.
I had a sneaking suspicion that was what the 100 was.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I got a message yesterday from an old editor of mine who mentioned that we were coming up on 99. They were doing a bit of a countdown on mm-hmm. their platform. So I should have gotten it, Mike. I should have known. I had a suspicion.
Well.
But it's time to count them down. Because
time to count them down? And that is to week zero, by the way, not week one.
Almost the dog days of summer, and what better to do during those days than to count down?
You know, people are putting together the lists. On Threes put together the top 100 players for college football in 2026. We're going to have all the lists coming down during talking season, but 100 days until week zero, which I maintain will eventually be the new start of college football. Week zero will be week one. That is happening. I can't guarantee you 16 or 24. I can guarantee you get used to week zero, the college football season starting a week earlier. And I don't know many people that are against that that I can find, Rob. If they are, I haven't seen that because we just wait entirely too long. They're already on campus. They're already working out. They're already getting paid. And as fans, we don't need to wait another week. Like, let's just go. Let's just go, man. Let's get this thing cranked up. And if I had my way, it would start 2 weeks earlier. But they're not asking me. And, of course, you do contend with NFL's preseason. And believe it or not, It's if it's NFL, it's going to steal audience, so you don't necessarily want to do that. We are, as always, presented and powered by Advocare, advocare.com. I spoke to the fine folks at Advocare the other day, and they were incredibly happy with you folks. I'm going to give everybody that watches this program and listens to it a bow, because incredible numbers in terms of people that have gone to Advocare, use the promo code Mike Morgan, 20% off. Rob, I don't know if you're a coffee guy or what. I gave up coffee and juice years ago. This is all I drink in the morning, Spark. No sugar, and gives me everything I need to get going. Then if I'm going to work out, I don't need a ton of salt and sugar like Gatorade and drinks have. So I drink what they call Rehydrate. You've got the gummy vitamins. You've got creatine. You got everything. And you don't have to go into a store. It's shipped to you. So do what so many of our listeners have done already, and that's go to advocare.com, type in the promo code Mike Morgan, save yourself 20% on all items. It's advocare.com, promo code Mike Morgan, 20%. You'll be amazed when you go to the website how many different things they have to offer. There's a number of stories going on simultaneously. I just, Rob, I don't have an appetite today, and we'll see what Lugs, you know, when we have Lugs on, it's a potpourri of topics. We just kind of go all over the place. I just don't have the appetite to keep going down this NIL, salaries, and basically all the financial things affecting college football and college athletics. By now, it's just, it is what it is. I'm going to use an old John Fox axiom. It is what it is. It's not changing anytime soon. So I don't want to go there. I will say this. While this is primarily a college football show, podcast, whatever you want to call it, have you noticed what Will Wade is doing at LSU?
Yeah, absolutely. As the host of SEC Sunday Night, it is also part of my purview to pay attention to what's going on across
the plug there the for Rob there. SEC Sunday Night. Catch yeah. it now. Catch yeah. it. Catch it as soon as you possibly can, which will be this coming Sunday. But go ahead, proceed, please.
No, I think that the initial concern was nothing was happening, Mike.
Yeah.
But
he had no team. He had no roster.
And
my team is on the floor. There's like one person.
Exactly. So, you know, I think that the debate for me is how much do the LSU fan base and the LSU faithful love basketball? I think it's almost a fair weather thing. When I talk to them and get on the inside a little bit and some of the contacts that I have in that department, when they have an upper hand and they can go and get it, they want to talk about basketball. It's weird right now though, Mike, in the thick of the SEC baseball tournament and heading into the NCAA baseball tournament to be talking about LSU basketball, but proceed with Will Wade's adventures in Baton Rouge.
Yeah. And we'll bring in Tom Luke and Bill Robb, the bang up job. Thank you so much for coming in on short notice, because
you got
believe it.
It
or not, you can make a tie-in to football. The only reason you don't hear more about this story in a sport like football is because international players are not the rage in Europe. Although there have been a few that have gone to big-time college programs and wound up in the NFL. That is happening more and more now than it ever was before. But for those that don't know, Will Wade is just signing a bunch of these Euros that have played professional ball. Some have played G League. Some have been second-round draft picks but never played in the NBA. And that's how he's putting together his roster. And he has literally pissed off the entire college basketball world. Luke, as we bring you in, is there a more hated program in football and basketball right now than LSU? It's almost like they are wearing the badge of honor that is being the most vilified and the most blank you program in college athletics.
Well, I know one thing about college athletics in general, is winning cures all woes. So,
yep.
Do whatever you're doing, hated, disliked, loved, what have you, if you start winning and you win big, nobody's going to care.
Right. And we're seeing
your peers in the profession might care.
Yes. Oh, big time.
He's pissed those guys off more than anybody else.
Insanely so.
Yeah.
I've never heard like the level of, now, of course, a lot of these are anonymous. We see this in football too, right? We anonymously polled 100 coaches and here's what they had. I really hate that, but it's hard to ignore.
Yeah.
And so you had anonymous coaches absolutely take Will Wade to the woodshed. and you've had guys like Jeff Goodman and people that cover the sport nationally take him to the woodshed. I don't know if there's a true parallel in college football, because we don't have European players on the regular. We don't have a right. G League. Could you, let me ask you this. You do a lot of UFL stuff. Could you never play a down in the NFL, but play in the UFL, and then if you had college eligibility, play college football?
That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming that the same logic would apply, that if you've played the sport professionally, you can't go to play it back collegiately, but I don't know. And it'll be interesting to see if somebody tries.
Yeah. all it takes is a good attorney to get that through, right?
Yeah.
Well, with that introduction, let me say welcome once again. We've missed you. It's been a while. You're a busy man. As we all know, you've been out there at Amity Island and hunting great whites and trying to do the good work of the late Quint. I don't know how successful you've been, but hopefully you catch that thing and you're able to get your 10 grand.
Well, really, my 10 grand is right. Not for three. I'll find him for three.
I'll find him for
three. I'll catch him and kill him for 10.
What do you get for that, Luges? Head? The tail,
the whole damn thing.
That's what you get.
Actually, I spent the last 6 to 7 weeks moving. We're in the process of selling our house in Charlotte and moving down to our lake place full time. So I've been juggling .com responsibilities, travel for the UFL, trying to get a house out of a house and into a house.
Yeah,
we're about to be empty nesters, dude. My daughter's going to college in
August. I saw that. Congrats.
This has kind of been our plan all along. So we're about 80% moved in, but only about 25% unpacked. So it's been a long, you don't realize if you haven't moved in a while. We've been our house for 11 years and, you know, all of the stuff that you accumulate, especially with kids, and you're like, all right, we got to get out of here. I'm like, where did all this stuff come from?
It multiplies.
It's
like a gremlin.
Yeah, I can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel, but I'm not there yet.
I hear you. Well, congrats. And living on a lake with a boat, again, it pays to be Tom Luganville. Let's be honest about this whole thing. So let's refresh everybody on your duties for the fall of 26, only because it's going to segue into one of my questions. We're going to cover the map as we always do with you, but you are going to be Thursday night in all likelihood.
I believe
we can't commit to that. I know. Trust me. I know how all that works. But a good chance you'll be back on that. You've done it now for a couple of years. How have you enjoyed that? Because Thursday nights, it's a different game. I've seen what you and Matt are doing. It's really selling the atmosphere of a lot of colleges that don't get a ton of like big time national run. Like, I've had the pleasure of calling a game at East Carolina. Most people have never been to Greenville, North Carolina, and know like that's a cool place with great fans.
Yeah.
That if they weren't in the middle of nowhere, they probably would have been in the Power Conference by now. Mm-hmm. But you get to do some of those under the radar games on a exclusive window. So have you enjoyed that?
I have. You know, the thing that's been, it's been challenging just because the day becomes so long, because we also do two sports centers on campus live at a location somewhere, to your point of kind of introducing people to some of these spots. And so we started about 1 p.m. in terms of arriving on site, and then don't get back to the hotel till about 12:30 in the morning. And then I'm on the first flight out to get to Bristol to do studio on Friday and Saturday. So I've enjoyed it, man. Like you and I have done, you know, group of five games together before. Obviously the Thursday night package is going to feature some ACC games, but then a lot of American Conference, and, you know, they've done a great job. Their commissioners really embrace that as like their window, that window. And to be honest with you, the numbers have been outstanding. In fact, our numbers on a Thursday night, outrate the noon and 3:30 E2 window with two Power 4 teams.
Right.
So, you know, it is an exclusive night. It's not obviously the same as it was back. And I can say this because I lived it. You know, my dad's San Diego State teams, if you remember the early 90s, like they were a fixture on Thursday night, right?
Right. Yep.
You had San Diego State, BYU, San Diego State, Miami, what have you. And then that thing grew and grew and grew. and, you know, really up until maybe a decade ago was such a unique package. It's just a different landscape now.
Yeah, I've never done a Thursday, but I've done quite a few Fridays, and to, I get this all the time. Why do we still have bowl games? Why do we have games on Thursday, Friday night? If you knew what the ratings were, you would know they're not going anywhere because no. Those are exclusive windows.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, even if it is a middle level matchup, so many people are clamoring and craving college football. Every yep. bar in the country has football on Thursday yep. and Friday nights. That's so they're exactly not going right. anywhere.
And it's not going anywhere.
Just like you're the right. meaningless, the quote unquote meaningless bowl game on December 27th. It's not going anywhere because it's called programming and there's nothing else that rates like that. You know, you're not running Young and the Restless. You're going to run a live football game.
Well, if you're a college football fan, you're going to watch the game. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, and I certainly did this growing up, like Thursday, I'd be, oh, it's Thursday. There's a game on tonight. Like, you kind of have that. That's the thing that kind of kicks off the weekend and people look forward to it. But that, you know, people talk about the NFL on Thursday night and things of that nature. But if you're a college football fan and there's a college football game on, you're going to turn it on.
Right. No question. No question. I'm going to get here in three notes. So you also cover the ACC quite a bit. I know you were not in Amelia Island. I'm guessing you'll be at ACC media days or
yeah,
certainly. Yeah. And you also go to campuses and you do interviews.
Yeah.
And
you're, in August, yeah.
You're all over the ACC. You're on top of things. So I'm going to put you in a difficult spot. I started the show with three numbers, 100, 16, and 24. The 100 is the one where 100 days to the start of college football, week zero. In 100 days, we actually have games to talk about. Thank goodness, can't get here soon enough. The 16 and 24, you probably could have guessed, is about the playoff.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see if we can still be friends after this. I'm going to ask you point blank. Do you want 24 or would you be better with 16?
I'll start off by saying that the more football, the better. I love it. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm fine with more games. I'm fine with all of that stuff. Do I think that there are 12 teams that could win the national championship that would be in that mix? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Look at last year. By a stroke of luck and something nobody ever envisioned, largely because of the ACC, they took two group of five teams, right? And left Texas, Vanderbilt, and BYU at home. Mm. Now, everybody in the country knew what was going to happen when James Madison played Oregon and Tulane played Ole Miss. Okay? So we need to stop with the whole, these are the 12 best teams in the country. No, they're not. No, they're not. And this is not a knock on the group of five level of football. If you ask the coaches and they were honest with you, they would tell you the same thing. It's a different level. There's a reason why we have different levels of football, because there are different talent levels, right? There's different revenue streams. And there's places for, whether it's Division III, NAIA, Division II, FCS, what have you. There's a place for it. But my question, when you talk about whether even going to 12, going to 16, going to 24, is, are we trading access for excellence? Now, we're eventually going to get to the excellence. The reality of the situation is, unless something drastically changes on the horizon that we don't see, when you get down to those top 4 to 6, when it gets down to those semifinals and all that, we're mm-hmm. likely going to see the same group of teams that we've seen for the last 10 years. And who are
correct?
Those teams? Who are those teams? The teams with the most resources.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this isn't rocket science here. So I'm all for more football. I'm not for bad football, right? I'm not, mm-hmm. If you go back to the 14 playoff, there's only like two semifinal games that weren't blowouts.
Right.
They were all blowouts. And that was supposed to be from the top four teams. Mm-hmm. And so do I think the football across the board is getting better because of the transfer portal, because of name, image, and likeness, and dispersing the talent, thinning the herd, if you will, and putting more competitive products on the field? Yes, I think that. Could that make for more of a competitive college football playoff field? Yes, more now than it would have, you know, 5 years ago. But I think what we should be striving for is putting the elite of the elite on the field against each other. And I don't know if that's what we'd be doing if you moved to 16 or 24, but I know one thing that will never change. And that is that this whole discussion is about money.
Of course.
It's about revenue. We can come up with a dozen different reasons why you should or shouldn't do it. The only reason you're doing it is because of money.
That's right. That's right. It's the same reason why basketball just added 8 more teams. Those are going to be mediocre teams at best. Let me add to that real quick
because I think this is an important point in all of this. So we talk about the term Cinderella, right? It's hard for a Cinderella in a collision sport to run that gauntlet and survive, like a group of 5 team and survive. You're not built that way. You don't have that depth. You don't have the frontline starters of those other teams. You'd ultimately run out of gas, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In basketball with Cinderellas, the difference between what the college football playoff did last year and what basketball does is basketball welcomes the Cinderella but doesn't leave the premier team on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
We added 2 Cinderellas and left better teams on the sideline.
Yeah.
One of them being a staple of college football for however many years in Texas. So that's one thing that's got to get remedied. I understand wanting to include and give guys a shot, but you can't leave other deserving teams out in order to put them in. The basketball tournament doesn't do that.
100%. I mean, what happened last year, I'll try to extract a positive. It was a eye-opener because Tulane and James Madison were great stories with great coaches.
Great football teams.
I'm all for that. But what you saw on a massive stage was a chasm in the talent differential.
Correct.
So I don't know if you're really doing the G5, now G6, if we're including, hey, the Pack is back, Luke's. Kind of. I don't know if we're doing them a favor by just throwing them out there as a sacrificial lamb and everybody going, see, I told you, that's a different inferior level of football. I don't know if that's really... I get it. Like, they have to have one, because if you don't put one in there, there's a lawsuit right around the corner.
Of course.
You're not being inclusive and so on and so forth. To put 2 in there was, I thought, ridiculous. And if you're going to go to 24, I don't think you're going to be seeing the group 5 or 6 teams. I think it's going to be mediocre Power 4 teams that they want to push in there.
Correct.
And the coaches want it because you're a coach on the hot seat. I'm not on the hot seat. I made the playoff. Isn't that why I'm here? So now all of a sudden a mediocre coach gets extended and a raise, right? So the coaches want it. The ADs want it for the money. And then you could argue, and I'm not just saying this because we're 2 quote-unquote ESPN guys, but the Big Ten wants it. They want to reset the TV contract and
Correct.
Try to get Fox involved, because right now it's an ESPN property. Fox would love to go in there and say, no, we get some games.
Yeah.
Kind of like the CBS-Turner split
in
basketball. None of these reasons are for the good of the game, the good of the fan, the good of anything.
No.
And I almost feel like I sometimes have to ask myself, because I talk to myself a lot, Luke's. Am I contradicting myself? Because for years and years, I said I always wanted an 18 playoff. I thought the BCS was laughable. I thought 4 wasn't enough. I wanted 8. Then they said, well, it's going to be 12. I said, okay, fine. I'm a reasonable person. I will adjust to your wants and needs. So 12. And then now I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, I can make an argument for 16. I'll go 16. But that's where I've got to cut it off. I'm not going more than 16 in terms of what I want to see, nor do I think it's anything good for college football, because the regular season is a beautiful thing in college football. It's unmatched.
You
are watering this thing down now. If we're just like, all right, everybody who is a mediocre 8-4, and of those 8 wins, 3 were probably against like the MAC and the Sun Belt and CUSA. So you're basically like a 5-win team. Yeah, you go to... not to the Outback Bowl, you're now going to the playoff. That to me is just, it's not good. And unfortunately, there's enough powerful people that are pushing for it and might be able to get it through.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, as you mentioned, the Big Ten and you know, wanted to expand it for their own, you know, selfish purposes as it relates to their contract with Fox and CBS. Or it's, to me, that the amount of money that the Big Ten is bringing in and dispersing to their members without having that contract,
yeah,
is unbelievable.
Exactly. Right? It's the most lucrative league in the country.
Exactly. Yep.
So how much more do you need? yes, it's a good question. Let's go back to the ACC. Because, you know, the SEC dominates a lot of the national conversation and the Big Ten now. I mean, those two now have become, a lot of people warned us, AFC, NFC. It's not quite to that extreme, but it's not far off either. But how about the ACC? It's not surprising, too, that Jim Phillips would want expansion because, again, his conference almost got shut out completely. They got one team in. Miami had to leapfrog Notre Dame on the last week, et cetera, et cetera.
By the way, thank God that happened. They did the right thing.
Yeah, I agree.
If you didn't do that and you didn't say head-to-head matters, bye-bye week zero big games.
Exactly.
Because why in the world would I play in one of those games?
Why play it? If it doesn't mean anything.
Win mm-hmm. And I'm out.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, I agree. It's hard enough to keep those games now anyway because everybody's going to nine conference games and coaches are like, I don't want to play another hard game. So I'm afraid those things are already an endangered species in a lot of ways. But give me a 2026, hey, the ACC is on the rise pep talk, if you will, and what you like about it, besides Miami.
Yeah.
Which everybody knows now. Miami has found its juju, right?
Yeah.
They have found their juju. Their blueprint works. Keep bringing in incredibly talented transfer portal experienced quarterbacks. Spent a lot of money on the line of scrimmage. You got a stud wide receiver. It looks more and more like mm-hmm. the old U. I'm not saying the U is back. I'm just saying they're coming. But what else can I get excited about in this league this year?
Before I get to some other teams, just imagine for once, close your eyes and go, what would have happened if Miami didn't sign the quarterback?
Oh, gosh.
They would likely be playing with a true freshman.
They would have been in trouble. Yeah.
Big trouble, right? Yeah. So, I mean, that's how monumental that was at, what, the 11th hour?
Yeah, to get Carson Beck.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right? So, you know, it's interesting. This league needs the Florida States and the Clemsons to be Florida State and Clemson, right? And
correct.
It doesn't look right now like Florida State's making that type of progress to make that type of leap. The quarterback position, you know, Darian Mensah at Miami. Because I think if you look at leagues across the board and you say, okay, well, how strong are they at the quarterback position? Because that quarterback position is also going to dictate so much of the success of each and, you know, every football team. And you're probably looking at Darian Mensah and CJ Bailey at NC State as being, you know, the two premier guys. Gio Lopez goes over to Wake Forest. North Carolina doesn't know who their quarterback's going to be yet. Virginia doesn't know who their quarterback's going to be yet. Pitt knows who theirs is, and Mason Heinschel, who I think is a really, really good player, okay? It looks like Syracuse is going to get their guy back, and they were playing really well with Steven Angeli until he mm-hmm. ruptures his Achilles, and then the whole tire of the wheels come off. And so I think that is something that's really important to keep an eye on for all of these teams is, you know, can Virginia do this 2 years in a row, right? Who's their quarterback going to be? What version of North Carolina are we going to see in year two? But most notably, I think the biggest questions are about Clemson because everybody knows that Clemson has the ability level and the talent, to be a premier player in the college football landscape, not just the ACC, but can they get the quarterback position fixed? Because listen, people forget that they hit on three quarterbacks in a row.
Yes.
That's 9 years. Mm-hmm. And then they missed. And you can make an argument they missed twice.
Because I think Klubnik regressed almost every year.
I totally agree with you. And so, you know, the trickle-down effect and how that affects the rest of your football team is big. It makes you mortal, right? So they got to get the quarterback position right. And you know, a lot of people say, well, why didn't they go into the portal? Well, the portal was not a great quarterback year. It really wasn't. There weren't a ton of guys where you sat there and said, that guy is a major upgrade outside of Brendan Sorsby, who may not even be in the mix now, right? So, you know, is Chris Vezina the answer? Small sample size from him last year. They didn't go out and bring any depth. They're going to have a true freshman probably battling with him to start. And that whoever does, you know, freshman will be a two. But I do think Clemson's talented. I think that they're a team that will probably play better as a football team. You know, it's interesting to sit there and look at them last year and look at all of that on paper talent and then look at how that team performed. Who's to say that with those guys not there, they're going to be better? Because I think maybe a little complacency set in, read your press clippings set in a little bit, because that roster, you could make an argument going into last year, had the most known commodities returning out of any roster in college football. And that's hard to do now, right? It's hard to be old in college football. It's hard to be experienced because of the transfer portal, early departures of the NFL draft, all the player movement. And that team had all the markers to say, okay, this team should be elite. And they weren't. So, you know, the thing about the ACC that you can't ignore, and it's hard to debate against, is that it is highly competitive week in and week out because all of the teams are very, very similar talent-wise. And the margin of error is razor thin.
Which is probably not what the ACC truly wants.
No, they need 2 to 3 top dogs.
They need some heavyweights.
I mean, look at the Big Ten last year. Everybody talked about how good the Big Ten was. Were they? Outside of 2 to 3 teams?
That's been average. Right. I mean, I think you could make the argument. We had Chuck Oliver on not long ago. Does a great job covering college football out of Atlanta. And he brings up a good point that being the deepest league in college football is not necessarily a good thing if you want to win national championships. Right. Look at the Big Ten model.
Yeah.
You've had the last 3 years, 3 different teams win it. But it's never been, no one has ever accused it of being the deepest league in college football. The schedule has been beneficial to Indiana, Ohio State, and Michigan. I'm not saying the Big Ten is trash, just pump the brakes. I'm just saying it's not as deep as a league like the SEC. But at the end of the day, some would say, who cares? Because people remember who won the national championship and what league they're associated with. They don't sit there and pound their chest and go, well, we haven't played for a national championship, but we're the deepest league. Yeah. So the ACC is one of the most competitive. The Big 12 is one of the most competitive. But the problem there has been they haven't had the dominating team. And that starts with the absolute downfall of Clemson. To have 9 draft picks and win 7 games is very hard to do. At Florida State, simultaneously, minus 1 good year, is a huge, huge season for the Seminoles to figure out where they're headed, what direction. And then you start going to the same programs as we seem to talk about every couple of years.
Yeah.
It's the NC States, it's the Pitt. North Carolinas, Pitt, Georgia Tech.
SMU's been a really good addition to the league.
100%. Yeah.
And then Georgia Tech climbing back up has been really good. But they're all kind of clumped together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you know, we don't have the 2019 Clemson in the ACC now, right? Whereas the SEC still has that dominant team or two. The Big Ten has that dominant team or two. The difference is that Clemson hasn't been able to maintain that dominant team. Now, maybe it's Miami now. I mean, I'll tell you what. Miami was really good last year, and I was at all of their playoff games and the national championship game. And they were legit.
Oh, I had them against Florida State in, September? And I said at the time, that's the most talented team in college football. And even though they didn't beat Indiana, I still would say that was the most talented team in college football. Not necessarily the
very
best.
Well done. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there was a guy by the name of Mendoza, and there's a really, really good coach in Bloomington that was able to pull the rabbit out of the hat. What about that? That turned out to be, I think there were so many people pulling for Indiana last year that had no ties to the school or even the league. People that had never been in the Midwest in their life just wanted to see fresh blood, and it gave their program hope. If Indiana, because all their whole lives they've been told, hey, sit back there, Johnny. Let the big boys play for the title. You just be happy competing for a mid-level bowl game. And then Indiana comes out of friggin' nowhere and back-to-back really good years and won national championships. So, and by the way, this whole notion, well, Mark Cuban before last year was not giving Indiana a bunch of money. Mark Cuban is not the generous person that a lot of people want to think. In fact, many people have dealt with him think he's a horse's ass, but that's another story altogether. But it is a good story, right? Sure. That we can all get behind. The question I have is it a one-off? Is it a one-off, but we're going to the earth will go back on its axis and we'll be talking about the same 5 to 10 programs that we used to for the last 50 years?
I think what's happened is that this new landscape has opened the door for the possibility, if you have resources, enough resources, okay? And this is the big component to this. The choices that you make in the transfer portal are more critical than any other choice you probably make in the direction of your program. And what he did is he formed the blueprint, he being Kurt Cignetti. He didn't look into the portal and say, who's the flashiest high-profile name? And that guy was a five-star coming out of high school. And he hasn't played yet, but if he comes to Indiana, everybody's going to be all excited. And then, you know, we're going to have a better player. Uh-uh. What he did is he went out and said, who is old and who's played a lot? Those two, if you look at Indiana's roster and you look at their 2 and 3 deep, graduate, redshirt senior, redshirt junior. And then you look at the history of those guys, how much football they had played prior to arriving in Bloomington.
Yep.
That's the recipe.
That's the basketball model.
If you're not Ohio State, if you're not Tech, that's the recipe. Mm-hmm. You get old and you get experienced. And on top of it, the one-off may actually be that maybe never in the history of college football, at least not in the last 50 years, has a team ever been so flawless in execution and minimizing mistakes as the Indiana Hoosiers last year?
Yeah.
Did you know that they lost one fumble the entire year, and it came in the first half of the first game?
Right, right.
The entire year. They don't – there's no penalties. They're awesome on third down. They don't jump off sides. It's the damnedest thing you've ever seen. And that in and of itself might be the thing that I find to be the toughest thing to replicate as it relates to Indiana specifically. But I do think the blueprint's out there now for the next Indiana, whoever, you know, that may be, that if this is how we attack this from a personnel standpoint, and on top of, let's not forget, he hit on a quarterback 2 years in a row.
Yes.
In his first 2 years at the helm. You do that, I mean, that cures all kinds of problems.
Right.
If Mack Brown doesn't steal Sam Howell in his first recruiting class from Florida State, if he doesn't do that, he doesn't have that start to his second tenure at North Carolina.
Right.
The quarterback fixes it all. So, I love their blueprint, and I really spent a lot of time studying it during the season, after the season, and then when you went and flipped through the game notes, or you flipped through the box scores on the next day, and you're like, okay, the opposition's got 7 penalties, Indiana had 1. Opposition turned the ball over 3 times, Indiana had none. Like, it's almost like there was a secret sauce. It wasn't a big secret, right?
Right.
What I think is going to be interesting with Indiana is they're bringing in a very, very experienced quarterback who's a really good player who also turns the ball over a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And how that plays there, if that starts to happen, it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, you're talking about Josh Hoover, who comes in as the active passing leader over 9,600 yards, but also the active interception leader with 30-some-odd picks.
Yep.
Mendoza was just surgical and rarely made any mistakes at all.
So with Curtis Rourke.
So exactly. So they have struck gold in the portal. We'll see if they can do it. 3 QBs in a row. That's hard to do. It's hard to get the hat trick.
Hard to do. Yeah.
Miami's trying to do it, and Indiana's trying to do it. And if they do, both teams will likely be in the playoff again and playing for big prizes. Are there any other teams? Like, it's important to note, Vandy won 10 games last year. Yeah. Ole Miss was in the college football playoff. So it wasn't just Indiana. We did have some new blood, which I think is so good for the sport.
Me too.
I hope that continues. I don't know where it comes from this year. You have any dark horse teams on your mind? It's so hard to predict that, right?
Well, it's so hard. It's harder now to prognosticate and predict and do preview shows and preview segments now because you could have a 50-man roster turnover.
Right.
Like, nobody really knows what type of team. You might know who's on the team, but you don't know what type of team they're going to have, right? Like, for example, I remember going into last year with North Carolina, and you know, all anybody talked about was, oh, well, they got 70 new players. They got 70 new players. Yeah, they picked those players. That wasn't the previous staff's fault. Mm-hmm. It's not like it was 10 years ago where you got the new job off of a 3-9 season and you inherited an 85-man roster.
Right.
They picked those guys. So the choices that you make when you have roster turnover and you're trying to preview how good somebody's going to be, I think that's really, really difficult. I do think because of the returning nucleus and who their coach is, I would expect Michigan to be vastly improved.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I would say Penn State as well.
Penn State's going to be better.
Because of coach, and for whatever reason, Drew Aller, talk about another guy that just never
regressed. Yeah.
Just regressed. The light never came on. It was very Cade Klubnick-ish.
And think about it. He was a guy that was one throw away, an interception in the semifinal from playing for a national championship.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Right.
And then you have two NFL backs, and you have an offensive lineman that's a beast who goes first round of the Ravens, and you've got all this talent around him. Penn State should have been great last year.
Yeah. It's like Clemson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It goes back. Like, I mean, one thing I always talk about, it's a lot easier to fall off the top of that mountain than to get up to the top of it.
Yep.
You know, you've seen great programs hit low points, but you've seen some programs never get near the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
No matter how hard they try. That's what makes some of those stories last year encouraging overall. You're still covering recruiting, right? You're still in that.
Oh, yeah.
You're still in that game. So, like, I remember when National Signing Day was just such a huge deal, and we were monitoring every visit of every big recruit in January, and then the first Wednesday in February came, and is the fax machine working? It just feels like it's been so much of that has been taken away via the portal. So how has it changed for you working that angle nationally?
Well, that added more work because I didn't used to have to cover the portal. I didn't have to used to cover name, image, and likeness. Now we do portal rankings. We do positional portal rankings. We write reports on portal guys. Now, fortunately for us and our background and our database, we've got a lot of previous information on a lot of those guys. But the sad part, if you're going to ask me the sad part of it, is the trickle-down effect of scholarships not being available to high school prospects that used to be is pretty massive.
Oh yeah.
It's pretty massive. And I tell kids or parents, coach, guys, don't devalue a scholarship offer. Don't sit there and play the game. The game's not there to be played anymore because they won't play the game because you don't have the leverage anymore because we can go replace you with a college guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So kids got to be very careful. Now, are there going to be 50 to 100 kids that are going to have 30 scholarship offers each and every year just because they're that good? Yeah, of course there are. But I'll also say this. What's the likelihood of any recruiting class? What's the likelihood that 60% of it's going to even be at the same school in 2 years?
That's the big one. The turnover. Yeah.
The turnover. You're renting players.
Yes.
Right? Because it used to be identify, evaluate, recruit, develop. Now it's identify, evaluate, recruit, retain, right? The retention part of that's hard because guys want to play right away. They expect to play right away. They're actually getting paid now. They haven't done a damn thing. They're going to easily get their feelings hurt. They're going to get punched in the nose a few times and realize, okay, this isn't high school anymore. They're either going to take their ball and go home, or they're going to gut it out and fight and compete and battle. But maintaining that roster and retaining those classes is impossible. I mean, when you look at, and there's been some schools that have done a nice job of it, but they're still having to pick and choose who they want to keep and invest in, and knowing that the other guys are probably going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So that in and of itself is taken away from what National Signing Day is, because there's no permanence to it, right? There's no, all right, we signed this guy. He's either going to be three and out, or he's going to redshirt and play, be here for 4 years, or he'll redshirt and be here for 5 years. Those days are gone.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's the incredible changing. And we didn't even mention the word, the M word, money. And I don't want to do a deep dive on that. I want to get you out on a positive note, but because if I mention that, or if I mention what's going on at Colorado, I know I'm going to get you fired up. You were right on that all along, by the way.
I was dead on right. And thank you for acknowledging that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, the people, I always say there are people in our industry that truly they can't help themselves. And I always say on this show and others, just because you want something to be reality, does it make it reality?
Right.
Just because you wanted Deion Sanders to revolutionize, I kept hearing that word, revolutionize coaching.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that's actually happening. And it's not.
Right.
It's been a bit of a disaster, if you want to be honest about it. And I'm not sure if they're going to be much better this year, but that's a whole other story. But I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that do you remember when they came up with the $20.5 million cap, quote unquote, for all sports?
Yeah.
And then like the big time programs were going to spend, they were going to take like 14 million of that 20.5. Mm-hmm. And that was going to be football salary money.
Of course.
There was a great line from the Iowa State AD, and I can't remember his name. And of course he's just like, Jamie, well, Baller. Hell, that's it. Thank you. He said the salary cap is the salary floor.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's spending more than $20.5 million.
Of course.
There's no cap whatsoever.
Yeah.
The scrutinized NIL deal, we're going to make sure these things are legit. My, please. We are just buying rosters.
It's
over
pay for play.
It's pay for play and pay for stay. Yeah, and so we've got rosters that are over 40 million.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, if you believe some of the reports, I mean, it could get close to 100. Who knows? I mean, there's some schools that if you put no guardrails, and there still are no guardrails.
Zero.
This is what we're doing now. So we're like the NFL. If the NFL just allowed Jerry Jones to outspend the other 31 teams.
Can you imagine what would happen to the NFL if it was run like college football right now?
It'd come it'd crumbling be laughable. To the
ground. Yes. It'd come crumbling to the ground.
Of course.
Can you imagine every February, Patrick Mahomes going, you know, I'm under contract with Kansas City, but I think I'm going to go play for somebody else. And then allowing
Chargers look good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking to the Chargers. They might offer me an extra million. So I think I might go to.
Or a player on name a team that doesn't make the playoffs and they're out of the playoffs in like week 14. And guys just said, you know what? I'm going to sit out the rest of the game.
I'm going to sit out. Yeah, I'm just not going to play. I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Laughable.
Or I'm going to quit at halftime of a postseason game. It's just like, what are we doing?
I know.
What are but again, nobody has an answer. Nobody has a solution. All right. I said I'd get you on the positive note. Some storylines you're excited about going into 2026. It could be a team. It could be a league. It could be a player. Just anything at all. I know it's early to ask you that, but pretty soon you're going to be on ESPNU, ESPN2, chopping it up, right?
Yeah. I'd go back to, I'm excited to see like Kyle Whittingham at Michigan. I'm excited to see Campbell at Penn State, you know, what some of these new coaches do. Alex Golish at Auburn, knowing how hungry they are for a winner there. And
Summerall at Florida. I mean, there's some big coaches at.
I think what we're hearing, saying, seeing about Arch Manning now that he's actually played, okay, is legit and warranted. But the problem, what happened with that kid, is we said and viewed and expected all the same things we're expecting now before the guy ever even became the guy.
Right.
Right? It's not fair. And then you go back and you look at his last 6 to 7 games last year.
Outplayed everybody.
He was unbelievable, yeah. Right? Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So I think Texas is going to be really good. I think Georgia is going to be really good. Georgia's got one of the most intact returning rosters. And I was talking about retention of anybody in college football. They just can't fall victim to becoming Clemson.
Right.
Clemson was the same way, right? And so I think Georgia's going to be very.
But they got Gunnar Stockton, who's not going to regress like Cade Klubnick did. I don't see that kid going backwards.
Right. And they're going to be able to effectively run the ball and, you know, all
those sorts of things. And the defense will be better because that was one of the worst defenses under Kirby.
Yeah. There's no question. So I think the other thing that I start scrutinizing and looking at more and more. In fact, I had a project that took me about 5 weeks. And I was tasked with going through every Power Four conference and every single team and finding a new impact addition. Could be a portal guy, could be a freshman, what have you, could be a JUCO guy, what have you, for every team in the Power Four conferences.
Jeez.
Okay. So in doing that, you got to figure out, number one, where is everybody? Like, who's actually on these teams now? Because I started this in... It would have been late February, early March. And they ran like the first week of April. So I go through and I literally dissected every single roster in a 2-deep, almost looked like a game board platform with guys crossed out that were either gone to the portal, gone to the NFL, gone to graduation, who's returning, and then who were the additions all coming in. These rosters are a friggin' mess. I don't know how anybody keeps track of any of it. So I tell you all this because I think one of the things I get really excited or anticipate looking forward to is who's out there that can come up with a way of doing what Indiana did, of putting together 40, 50, 55 guys, all right? You know, LSU right now is going to have a whole new order in their roster. Okay. But who gets it right? Like, I remember Nick Saban on his very first game day in Ireland. I think it was 2 years ago or whatever it was. And we were talking about Ohio State's roster. And he said, you know what? You can pay all the guys you want, but if you pay the wrong ones, you're SOL.
That's right.
And it's 100% true. And it will always be true. Right. Mm-hmm. And that year, Ohio State, guess what? They paid the right ones.
Yeah.
Every one of those dudes legit won a national championship. So that's what I'm looking forward to most probably. Who figures that part of it out?
Well, and you hit on what's going to be, I think, one of the most intriguing stories we've had in the last 10 years, and that's Lane Kiffin at LSU.
Oh,
we all know how much money they spent. Yep. We all know what Lane did at Ole Miss. We all know how he left. We all know what he has said since he left. Like, you're either in that boat or you can't wait for that plane to crash.
That's exactly right. And so, there ain't going to be any 8-9 win acceptable seasons.
No, not around there.
Not a 10 win acceptable season.
Yeah.
He has to win now. He has to win a national championship now. Mm-hmm. Like, and unfortunately, he put himself in that position.
Yeah. Well, he's got Coach O back, so.
Yeah. You know, he can recruit.
He can recruit. He's a closer.
Yep, he is.
Yeah. You give Coach O the resources and now the money at LSU to close kids. Good luck trying to beat him out. If he's in that room, he's taking your date home.
Yeah. And then it's going to come down to, do they have money?
Yeah.
And they do.
And they got plenty of it. All right. We always close out with a little Sam Fiverr or Dimer. A Few Good Men and Road to Perdition. All right, A Few Good Men is a Ben Franklin.
Dimer. Yeah, that's a dimer.
You just, easy. When that's on, the remote goes away. You grab whatever's left over in the fridge.
Yeah.
And you see it through.
Yeah.
And Nicholson steals the movie. As good as Cruise is, Nicholson steals the movie. I have not seen Road to Perdition.
It would be a fiver.
Okay.
It's good. It's a good movie. Good. Now it's a slow burn build up.
Yeah.
I love Tom Hanks movies. I think he's a great actor. I think he's incredibly miscast in it. He's not a gangster.
No,
he's not a gangster. Sorry. He's not a hitman. He's not, but to me, I just don't view him that way, but it's a good movie. I like it, but it would be a fiver. I guarantee for you, it would be a fiver.
Okay. I'll give it a shot.
I think it'll be Paul Newman's last role.
Oh, I do like me some Paul Newman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it was his last role. He's really good in it, too.
Color of Money. Cool Hand Luke. I remember somebody calling me out when I was hosting a daily talk show, and like I had to admit I'd never seen it. Like, what are you talking about, Mike? You never seen Cool Hand Luke? Go watch it now.
How about Slapshot? The Caddyshack of Hockey.
Fantastic.
It's a brilliant movie. And here's one, and it was a newer one. It was in either the late 90s or early 2000s that he did with Bruce Willis and Melanie Griffith called Nobody's Fool.
Never saw that.
It's one of his best roles, and it's a really good movie, and not a lot of people know about it.
I know nothing about it.
Yeah.
I'm a little embarrassed.
Check it out.
Can I get that on Tubi today?
I'm sure you can.
Tubi is fantastic.
Just wait for your little breaks every 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, right? When it's like a big moment in the plot. Are you having trouble with erectile dysfunction?
Yeah.
All right. Can we get back to the movie, please? All right, Luke, tell everybody where they can catch you next, because you're doing a plethora of things here these days.
So I'm actually off for the UFL this weekend.
Okay.
This coming Memorial Day weekend. I'll be back on for the UFL for final regular season game, first round playoff, and the championship game.
Okay.
On ABC.
Nice.
And then I'm always doing .com work, but that's just behind the scenes and shows up when I turn it in. And then ACC Media Days we'll cover in July, obviously.
Yeah.
And then hopefully just get back with some family time and get moved into this house, man. We
just
feel like we're living out of suitcases. It's driving me crazy.
Well, the ceiling looks great. And that painting.
Well, thank you.
The painting of the little boy, and that's Americana right there.
That's my son and daughter.
Is that right?
Yeah, it is. It's
I thought it was like a Norman Rockwell painting from the early 1900s.
It's an oil painting from a photograph of my son and daughter when they were 6 and 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Look at you. Look at you. You know, you could have just made it pure man cave, nothing but like Jaws memorabilia.
That's upstairs in my office.
Oh, that's a different room. Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. We can't lose that. No. We can't lose you. Yes, we'll switch rooms next time.
Okay.
We'll do a whole tour of the house, and then maybe one day we'll just have you do it from the boat.
Follow me here.
Here we go.
This is
a live look in. Oh, beautiful. Huh? Arched ceiling, beautiful view. Is the lake beyond that window?
The lake is beyond that window.
Let's go look at this. We have a nice TV above the fireplace. It does get chilly sometimes in Charlotte. Gosh, it looks just like Lake Lanier.
It does. Yeah.
That's a buddy of mine has the exact same layout and the long walk down to the water and boom.
That's it.
Paradise. That's fantastic. Congratulations to the Luganville family. You have done well.
Well, we've had this place for 6 years and we spent this last offseason actually remodeling it. It's an original 1960s A-frame like cabin. Lake cabin that people used to have. And we just did a lot of indoor remodeling, didn't really do any addition or anything like that. We just updated it because we knew we were going to live here full time. And so we just got that done the last 5 months.
How about that? New digs, empty nesters.
Yeah. And now I just got to get my house sold in Charlotte, dang it. Somebody buy my house, please.
Yeah. We'll throw up the Zillow address.
Throw the Zillow up on my house, will you?
I only take 2%, much less than your typical estate agent.
Yeah, exactly.
You could do a lot worse than that. Man, Luke, always a pleasure. Love having you on, my friend. We'll do it again soon, and enjoy the rest of the offseason.
Will do. You too, man. Talk to you soon.
All right. See you, bud. That'll do it for us, another installment of JC and Morgan, again, presented by Avacare, avacare.com. Save yourself 20% on your entire order. Go to avacare.com, get everything that you need. For Mad Dog, who hopefully has found technical satisfaction, for Rob Williams filling in for him, and everybody else for tuning in, we appreciate you, we love you, and we'll be back again next week. So long, everybody.